After close to 2 years of campaigning, the 2016 election is tomorrow. Polls show Hillary Clinton is likely to carry Michigan over Donald Trump, and we'll find out tomorrow if they've been accurate. The polls have made us curious about how polling works. So current state Scott Pohl talked with a leading Michigan pollster. Tell us about Richard Shuba, Scott.
Well, Mark, Richard Shuba does public polling for the Detroit News, and his lengthy and diverse resume includes time doing private polling for then-Governor John Engler. He tells me that the Detroit News has been polling the presidential race in Michigan for a long time, and despite the efforts of both campaigns, the numbers haven't moved much.
We've been polling this race in various forms since June of 2015, and the one thing we are seeing that is rock-solid consistent in every poll that we do is that Hillary Clinton is getting 42 or 43% of the vote. What we're seeing for the Republican, and once Donald Trump won the nomination in May, he was the person we were always testing. His numbers ranged from a low of 31, and that was the point where Clinton had an 11-point lead, to what we, you know, where we were in May, and now again, just about a 4.5-point lead, where he's at 38%. So when we polled in May, after the nominations were secured, we had Clinton at a 4.5% lead, and that's roughly where it appears to be again. We really haven't seen a lot of movement.
All of this coverage, and it hasn't budged.
Nope, it really hasn't. And that tells us, in large part, what we thought all along, that this is very much a base election. This is about the basis of the parties. And we're seeing, particularly with independents, that there is a lower motivation to vote. The independents are disgusted with both sides of this conversation. And so that becomes that much more pressing that each side of the aisle gets their base out to vote in this election.
People talk about the margin of error in polls. Where does 4.5 points fall within any margin of error you might be trying to consider?
Well, when you're looking at a 4.5-point race, then the margin of error is plus or minus 4% typically. That means it could be a toss-up, but we've seen consistency in these numbers. So that tells us that, you know, we're looking at what we have a sense of what we know here. And that's probably, in Michigan, an advantage to the Democrats. That's typical of Michigan in election year. And I think what really is going to be interesting to watch is how are both sides doing in getting their bases out? Because that's going to tell the story here. And that should tell the story of Michigan in any competitive election.
When you watch news coverage that involves polling, I'm curious as a pollster how you follow the horse race coverage and the extent to which, maybe like a lot of people, do you think it's overdone? Do you think we focus too much on the polling numbers in our news coverage?
Actually, I do think we focus too much on the polling. I always feel that polling should be used in these races. Public polling should be used to inform the story, why people are making the decisions they're making. And we should spend less time on the horse race. Let the voters decide the horse race. That's their job. Our job in public polling, I feel, is to just understand the dynamics occurring. That's the most important part. You know, as a pollster, I watch the polls. I also separate the good ones from the bad ones. And I have to say, there are a lot of bad ones out there. Polling has become expensive because of cell phones. And a lot of people in the media don't have the resources to do the good polling that's required. And that requires a hefty cell phone sample, which is far more expensive to reach in polling. So, you know, one of the problems we see, people become disgruntled with the polls. They say, oh, the polling's bad. And they're right. Some of it's really bad because some of it's cheap, frankly.
Since you've brought up how polling is done, I wanted to dig into that a little bit with you, the details of your own polling strategy. How do you reach people? How do you find them? How are they selected? How are they weighted? And do you return to the same people like we see in some polls?
What we do is a random sample drawn from lists of people. Michigan is unique in that approximately 97% of the state is registered to vote. you get your driver's license, you register to vote, and you're on the list. And that's where we start. And then we winnow it down based on your likelihood to vote. And we actually screen people for how likely they are to vote. We ask them, are you definitely voting? Are you probably voting? And when they start to say, especially at this stage, when they say, oh, I'm probably not voting or I'm not voting, well, we screen them out. Because if you're telling us you're probably not voting at this stage, you're not voting. We know that. The hard part for us is getting people to actually respond on the phone. And that's become an increasingly big challenge with cell phones. Cell phones have to be part of the sample now. They have to be. You cannot reach voters, frankly, 35 and younger on a landline anymore. And the ones you do are not necessarily representative of those on a cell phone. So that's why we are very, very careful to make sure that when we do public polling that we have a substantial cell phone sample involved. That's where you get many of the people under 40 years of age responding to you. And, you know, one of the things I started in polling back in the 1980s when everything was a landline, but there were no computers. So you were hand-dialing telephones, and it was slow and tedious. Well, now, you know, for pollsters now, it's kind of back to the past. We were able to computer dial landlines, and now we can't do that with cell phones because it's not legally allowed to computer dial a cell phone. So we are hand dialing cell phones again. So we're right back where we started, and it's slow and laborious and expensive to do.
We're talking with Richard Chuba. He's the owner of the Glengariff Group, and he does polling for the Detroit News. In the past, he has worked for people like John Engler in Michigan politics. You have brought up public polling, and I want to make a distinction between public polling and what I guess you might say is private polling or for one of the races or a partisan employer like one of the parties. What are they looking for when they hire a pollster, and how do they get what they're looking for?
One of the things that we believe is extraordinarily important is it's got to be played down the center. You can't be choosing sides. Public polling has an extraordinary influence on the narrative of a race. And if you start trying to tip the scale of the numbers, you're going to tip the race. And that's, you know, the media particularly, I think, has to be very sensitive to the influence of that polling. We talked earlier about, are we paying too much attention to the poll? You know, and I think yes. And I think part of it is for this reason. I don't think it's the media's responsibility to tip the narrative of races with polling. And we all know everybody loves a horse race. But we need to be careful that we're focusing on the issues involved in the race and not just the numbers in the race. When you're looking at, you know, pollsters and what campaigns are looking for, I think they're looking, you know, it's a whole different conversation you're having. Because what you're looking for there is a pollster who's going to deliver a strategy for how to get to 50% of the vote plus one to you. You're very much looking for the strategist in that conversation. That's not the public polling part of this.
You've done some private polling, so you know a lot about it, I gather. the part of the question I'm trying to get at is, what are they looking for when, say, a campaign hires a pollster? Do they want, in some cases, to look like they're behind because they're hoping it will encourage the get-out-the-vote effort? Are there campaigns where they hope to look like they're ahead because they're hoping that will encourage their base? Are there advantages one way or the other? Or are they trying to get numbers that tell the story they want to tell?
Well, I can honestly say I have never in 32 years been involved with a campaign that wanted polling numbers to look lower than they were.
Okay.
That's never been the case at all. But I do think there, you know, as we get closer, particularly in the final week of a campaign, you start to, you know, it's silly season, as we say in politics, and you start to see numbers get thrown around just aren't accurate. And people are trying to do things with that. For example, if the race isn't as, you know, you can see numbers that come out where the race just isn't as close as the numbers are claiming. And sometimes that's done to help generate excitement on the losing side's base. Or you see the winning side put out numbers bigger than the race really is to try and show a sense of confidence. So that's why, you know, as we get closer to the election, you really have to be careful about who's behind these numbers. Frankly, where have they been paid for? What are the affiliations of the people paying for that poll? And one of the big questions I always have as a pollster is, what's the methodology? Because, you know, you look at a race like in Michigan right now in the presidential race, and one way to influence the numbers, frankly, is the percentage of the African-American vote included in the survey. Because if it's not accurate, which in Michigan it should be 12 to 14%, then that shows a closer race for the Republicans than it will likely be. And we saw that in 2012, where a lot of polls were showing a closer race in Michigan, probably 5 or 6 points. And we saw a surge in the African-American vote to 16% on Election Day. And that suddenly rose Obama's numbers to 9.5%. In Michigan, I think that African-American block of voters is an essential part of the conversation for what the race really looks like.
I have another question for you about private polling, and that is, since you're involved in public polling now for the Detroit News, do you hear about private polling results? And if so, are they coming up with numbers that are different one way or the other from what you're seeing for the Detroit News?
I think there's, frankly, some consistency that from what we're hearing within the community, what we're seeing, the conversations being had within political circles. You know, we've seen the numbers close in Michigan. We've seen it become tighter back to that May level. That's kind of predictable for the end of a race. Races tend to close unless something happens that just blows it wide open. In this case, it's closed, it's tightened. I think what we're seeing, and you can see it with the Republican activity specifically over in West Michigan, they're trying to enthuse their base. You have Hillary Clinton coming back in Michigan the final weekend. She's trying to enthuse her African-American base. That tells me this race is where we think it is. It's a slight advantage to the Democrats in Michigan. And at this stage, it's all about who can turn out their voters.
I have one final question for you. We've only talked about what would appear to be the presidential race in Michigan. What else are you looking at?
Well, you know, with the Detroit News, we have focused largely on the presidential race this year. With some of our other work, we have looked at the state house races. One of the more fascinating races, frankly, in Michigan is the Macomb County Public Works Commissioner race between Candace Miller and Anthony Baracco. I think it is one of the most hard-fought races we've seen in Michigan in quite some time. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out, although Trump is doing well in Macomb County. And I think that is an advantage for Candace Miller in that race. And then I think, you know, in Southeast Michigan, you have the Regional Transit Authority vote. And that's a really interesting policy race. Do voters believe that Southeast Michigan needs better public transit? And I think for years we've seen that being the case where voters do believe that. Will they finally solve the problem in Southeast Michigan? Just from a policy perspective, that's a fascinating race.
Richard Chuba is owner of Glengariff Group. He does polling for the Detroit News. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.